Watching the War Room with your host, Rob Dew. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the third and final hour of the War Room. I'm your host, Rob Dew, and joining me via Skype is newly 100% free man. Before he was sort of like kind of free, but now he's 100% free. Joe Biggs, proud boy, former InfoWars reporter. How are you doing today, sir?
And future millionaire.
Aren't we all?
Eat that, Joe Biden.
It won't be worth as much, though.
It's pretty sweet after 4 years of, or 5 years of hell. I'll be glad to get whatever I can.
How did you get the news of this? Like, how did it come to you?
So yesterday I'm riding my motorcycle. I'm actually driving up to the motorcycle shop to check on my other bike that was in there getting work done. And I'm riding home and my phone starts blowing up. My friend Amy calls me, then Enrique calls me, then Ethan Nordine and Zach Rill. And I finally get to the house and I call Enrique back first. And I go, all right, this many people don't call me ever. I'm not someone that likes to be on the phone. And Enrique goes, well, I've got good news and I've got bad news. He goes, the bad news is I can promise you, you're not going to get a pardon. And I go, well, that's kind of an asshole thing to say, buddy. He goes, well, you're not going to need one because they're dropping all the charges tonight. And I go, what? And he sent me a screenshot from the DOJ and it says, we are dropping your charges and making it like it never happened.
It was dismissed without prejudice.
Yes, without prejudice.
I'm sorry, dismissed with prejudice is what.
Yeah, so they can never bring this up again. I can never be charged again.
Yeah.
That means it's like, you know, it's just been a 5-year nightmare that I've got to wake up from. You know, and but at the end of the day, guess what? It's made me a better person. I've learned a lot from it, you know, and I've gotten to see the inside. So most people don't have to go through that. I now have an inside knowledge of what the prison system's like, what it's like to go through a federal trial when it says United States versus your name. Mm-hmm. There's nothing more frightening than seeing the world's most powerful government, take you to court and strip everything from you. And, you know, I had lost hope for a while. I didn't think that I was going to get vindicated at all. And I just started accepting the fact that, you know what, I'm not going to get a pardon. And I just need to learn to live life as a multi-felon domestic terrorist. So I'm working on starting a new business. All this stuff's going. And then this happens and drops on me. And it's just, it's surreal. I don't even believe it's actually happening. So I keep pinching myself and I'm still waiting on it to like fully hit me. You know, my girlfriend, she's breaking down crying throughout the day. My mom, I haven't heard her crying forever. And she's, you know, I spoke to her on the phone yesterday and to hear her cry like that, it just, it feels good, but it eats away at you. You know, we needed a win.
Exactly.
We've been without a win for a while. And it's surprising, you know, what people aren't going to are not going to believe is, you know, Harmony Dillon, she reached out to Enrique, said something's coming down the pipe tomorrow. You guys are going to be very happy. Then we get that news. And she said the person to thank for this all was Todd Blanche, that he actually is the one that pushed it through.
Wow. Yeah. And that actually is very surprising because he seemed like, you know, anybody who spoke out against anything, he didn't, you know, he's already publicly spoken out against Alex Jones. I guess Pam Bondi was holding this up at the end of the day. She was the one in the way saying, no, we're just going to leave these little tentacles stuck to these guys so they have to go with this for the rest of their life, because all they did was do what the president asked, to go peacefully and patriotically, go to the Capitol and let your voices be heard. And, you know, for doing that, you got fired upon, you know, rubber bullets, there was tear gas. It just turned into mayhem. And not to mention, we had, a black DoorDash driver place two bombs, right? Isn't that what the government also said? So, I mean, all this craziness that has been going on, and finally you do get some real, you're not necessarily getting restitution, but you're getting to start it at zero instead of being, you know, 6 miles back at the starting line.
Well, so you know, I'm pretty sure I told you this a while back, but I guess maybe 6 months ago, 7 months ago, the VA office in DC called me, and it was the secretary of the secretary of the VA, Doug Collins. And she goes, he'd like to talk to you. We saw you had some complaints online about, you know, your benefits and things like that. So she patches me through and he tells me, he goes, look, without a pardon, there's nothing I can do. You can't go to the VA. I'm sorry. You're not going to get paid. He goes, you know, if by miracle you know, everything gets vacated like it happened yesterday, then you will get back pay. So
wow,
this is what I have coming to me now. I have 4 years at 100% disability back pay coming to me. The full restoration of my rights as a military veteran with honors, you know, Purple Heart.
You're going to get your medals back as well, right?
Yep. Everything. Wow.
Congratulations.
Access to the VA for the first time. I can go see a dentist in 5 years.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to be that person. But, you know, I'm getting that money guaranteed. Then now that it's been vacated and they've dismissed it based on the fact that they said that there was so much negligence and so much corruption in the prosecution of us. It's $10,000 a day for a legal detainment. So $10,000 a day times 4 years. You get that as well. Then you get other stuff, a few other things I've got to look into. But then also we are suing the DOJ for $200 million. And it's weird because the day before yesterday, before we got the good news, the new judge over our civil case says that our case has merit. And we haven't heard that before. You know, it's always been juking and jiving. So I think she knew what was about to happen. But this completely gives us the ability to win that. And things are going to look good. You know,
it sounds like they're trying to go for a settlement is what this is. It looks like it's a, hey, y'all drop the charges. And that's probably what they're going to try to do. So y'all drop the charges. We're giving you this olive branch, but you know, I think go with what you can get and what you can prove, especially with the way this whole thing was railroaded from start to finish, the demonization afterwards, the continued demonization by the press, you know, as the Proud Boys, who were just a group who was, you know, defending people's right to have speech in this world because the cops weren't doing their job. That's why the Proud Boys actually came into being. Essentially,
I mean, we were formed in tear gas, you know, like we saw these protesters, you know, or Trump supporters or whatever being attacked simply for wanting to hear, you know, Donald Trump go speak at an event back in 2015-16. And we saw people being sucker punched and attacked at restaurants with their children and eggs thrown at them and you know, ganged up on and beat up in parking lots. And, you know, we said, you know what, we're able-bodied men. We love this country, and we believe that everyone should have the right to go peacefully assemble and listen to a potential presidential candidate speak and see what he has to say and what he has to offer. So, you know, in their chaos, we were born. And, you know, they gave life to us, and it pisses them off because, you know, they don't want the truth out there. They don't want men who are healthy and in good shape out there standing up against these illegal aliens that are coming in here that they manufacture, open these borders, bring them in, and then have them attack American citizens. They don't like seeing, you know, men stand up and share a message of, you know, dangerous freedom, which means living your life to the fullest and being free and understanding your rights and talking to people about your rights. And, you know, it's like a muscle. If a muscle's not used, it starts to deteriorate. And it shrinks. And it's the same thing with our rights. When we stop using our rights and we start letting the government have a little bit more of it and we take that muscle away from us, we deteriorate. So people need to understand that our rights are just like a muscle. We've got to continue to use them and be not afraid to use them and understand what all the rights are. So we're continuously using them and not giving that government an inch because they always try to take a mile.
Yeah, that is true. And, sitting there listening, you know, I've known you for years. You know, if you're getting all this money from the government, I know one thing, you can afford a really nice ping pong table, and I can come down to Florida and we can relive some of the old days of after work going to the bar and drinking a couple brews and playing ping pong for hours.
Oh man, I miss ping pong. I've been telling Angela about that. I love playing ping pong. I mean, there were times when I was in the Army in El Paso, I was in a leg cast. I'd, you know, after I'd had my knee surgery, And I'm out there hopping on one leg, just whooping dudes in tournaments, man. I love playing ping pong.
Yeah. And you know, hey, I hope you get as much money as you can get out of these guys, because really,
are we going to get $200 million between the five of us? Hell no. These people are cheap.
Right.
But if we at least get like a million or so, hey, I'm okay with that. Look, that's a nice Harley I can get.
What? And, you know, you could buy a nice house with that. You could put a down payment on a house. You could get some land, you know, live your life, get the pursuit of happiness. That's what this, you know, country's all about. And also, you know, continue to let people know how your story and how the things you've gone through, because here's one of the big things that we haven't even talked about yet. When you were going to prison and going through all this stuff, you really did turn to Jesus and the Lord and really started praying and become more of a religious person. I know Darren McBreen was telling me all the time. He's like, man, Joe's definitely changed from all this. He's become, and you weren't a bad person before, but he's like, he's become a better person.
Yeah. You know, and I've told people this, I've always been pretty open about my faith and the ups and downs in it. You know, I was very, you know, I wouldn't say religious. I don't like that, because religion's a man-made thing. But, you know, I was more spiritual in a sense. I believed in God. I prayed. And then after I saw what I saw in combat, I really struggled with it. I struggled with it for a long time. And I had friends killing themselves, suicide. And I just saw a lack of help. And I just got to a point where I was dark and I hated God, you know. But for some reason, when this happened, instead of pushing him away, I brought him closer. And I just humbled myself and I said, you know what? I'm going to be in this room for I don't know how long alone. I'd like you to be in here with me and help me out. And God really showed me that he was there, you know, small things. I know I've probably told this story before, but, you know, when I was at the Alexandria Detention Center, where I spent most of my time in solitary, you know, we would get these stale old apples, worms in them and things like that. And they opened up the bean chutes, what they call them, the metal flap where they could put the food tray into your cell. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I want some freaking peaches. And the CO laughs, and all the inmates that have been there for years laugh. They're like, we ain't never seen no peaches in here. Ain't nobody going to get no peaches. I'm like, watch this. I was like, you know, and I got my food. And that night I laid down flat on the ground. I said, God, show me a sign. Let me know that you're here with me. And if I know you're here with me, I'm going to get through this no matter what. However long it takes, I know I'm going to be good. And the next day, the CO opens the flap, and he's literally shaken by this. And he goes, there's peaches on here. And everybody was just in shock. And after that, I started a Bible study. Yeah. You know, it got everyone's attention because they didn't think it was possible. And God heard me and he showed me. And from that day forward, I was like, you know what? I'm good. And I found joy in there. And I was able to be happy in that solitude. And I thought something like that was going to drive me crazy, but God got me through it. And, you know, it does. Sometimes we have to be pulled away from all the distractions of society, the social media, the gossip, the news, the gloom and doom. And sometimes God needs to pull us aside and, you know, to remind us, you know, that we still need him and that he's going to be there for us. And that, you know, I needed that, you know, and it sucks to say that because I had to spend time away from my family, but I needed that. And God pulled me aside and said, calm down, dude, cool, pull yourself off, chill out. And let's work on you. And you're going to be a force to be reckoned with. Yeah.
Eat a peach.
And, you know, after that, things got easier. And it became an easy thing for me. It didn't get hard again until I had to go to Talladega, where I was actually put with, you know, actual murders and criminals and stuff like that. And then here I am now. I've spent 2 years by myself, and now I'm getting thrust into this world with gangbangers and stuff like that, and learning a whole new dialogue and a whole new way to move and things like that, and watching your back and being careful what you say, because certain words you say can get you jumped or killed. Mm-hmm. You know, learning the space that you're supposed to keep around you. And that was a whole other chapter in my life, a new, you know, bump I had to get over, a new hill to conquer,
and God got me through it. You know?
Yeah, it was brutal, man. You know, I had a cellmate try to eat me. He took a chunk out of my neck and bit into me, and I was bleeding down my back and attacked me. And the guy was all messed up on drugs. And I had another guy trying to poison me with fentanyl all the time. And I had COs trying to get me in trouble. They would say, if you're going to leave your cell, we're going to put hard drives of child porn in there so you never get to go home. You know, when I had people actively just, they believed what they saw on the news. There were these black COs, and they would, they, in their mind, they
these guys are racist.
The worst racist. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's ridiculous. I'm amazed at still how many people still fall for the media's message and what the mainstream media does and how it puts its message out towards people. And then people still buy it to this day. And on all kind of levels. And I'm actually coming up after the break. You could stay if you want to. Yeah. Propaganda right there. That's how they manipulate the masses. And it's done with big brains that just sit around and figure out ways to control people and manipulate them. And one of which is fluoride in the water supply.
Yeah, people don't understand. As soon as you walk outside or as soon as you wake up, you are in an active psyop. Every day you are actively being psyoped. And if you don't understand what that is and how to counteract it, and if you don't have the intelligence to see through it and put on the glasses like Rowdy Roddy Piper says, you know, oh, there, we got one that can see, you're going to be victim to that. And it's they are calculated. They are cold. The Democrats, the left, the right, all these people are experts. They would make Edward Bernays blush. They would make Goebbels blush. I mean, we have mastered the art of deception now in this country with our government and the media. So people really need to educate themselves and read more. Stay off their cell phones, stay off the TV, and read your history and read about your rights and understand what it is you have and the power that you do have as a citizen. Most people don't even understand the power that they have, and that's why they fall victim to a lot of the things that happen to them. So people need to educate themselves and take it seriously.
So you've talked with some of the other Proud Boys. Is everybody getting this same deal, or is it just to a certain number of people? I mean,
well, it was all of us that didn't get it was all of us that got charged with seditious conspiracy. So we were the ones that got screwed over the most. We're the ones that had the least amount of evidence on. They had to use people to falsify testimony. They, you know, conspired to commit perjury. You know, with Jeremy Bertino, when they were doing the FBI raids after January 6th, they found in the home he was at weapons, and he was a prior felon. So they used those weapons to choke him into a position that he would fold and flop. And they kept going like, hey, man, we can give you 20 years for these weapons, or you could be my friend. And
you can say they put you up to it. You can say Trump told you to do it.
So they lied too. They lied to this guy, to Bertino. They told him that we were flipping on him.
Right, of course.
And he goes, no, I don't believe that. But then the CIA document 1776 returns introduced, and it's dropped into Enrique Tarrio's email somehow. And we were able to prove that through. And yes, this was a document created by our Central Intelligence Agency for this. I mean, January 6th was the magic trick. You know, over here, you have a stolen election. But then over here, January 6th was like, don't look at this hand, look over here. And that's what it was. Is I call January 6th the abracadabra day. You know, they didn't know that was going to happen. And they went with the flow after they saw the crowds moving. But the initial abracadabra and the bait and switch was the pipe bombs.
Yeah.
And once they saw Trump tell everybody to go to the Capitol, and they saw the amount of people that were going, they already knew. They already had a team on us, a team that was following us nonstop. So they had Proud Boys there. Great. There's one recipe for disaster in their mind. And then you've got, you know, 100,000 people moving towards the Capitol. And I think in real time at that moment, they started formulating a plan. You know, they're the government. They have mass communications. They have mass spying equipment. You know, and they already had all of our phones tapped, all of our information. They had drones overhead. I believe that there were different elements of special operations on the ground that day with earpieces, you know, getting the crowd riled up, people like Ray Epps, things like that. And they were using these individuals to foment anger. It was like the movie 1984, where it's like they're screaming at whatever, hate, 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 and they're angry. They don't know why. And that's what they were doing. These guys were in the crowd, these agent provocateurs, amping people up and showing them how to break down barriers and where to go and what the weak spots were. So
it was, and then on top of that, you have police shooting tear gas in, firing rubber bullets at people who hadn't done anything yet, who were just standing around. They're like, we're going to be here, we're going to stand here. And then, oh, you start getting hit. I even saw where I was, they just showed some of the video of Alex on the chairs telling people not to go in. Because we saw a group trying to go up the stairs, and we're like, don't try to go in. They're going to use that against you. And they all left, and I stood because I'm like, well, I'm going to get this. If this happens, I'm going to get this breach. Well, a group of about 13 cops in full riot gear, like they had the shoulder pads on, they had the tactical helmets, and they all had long sticks. They weren't carrying guns. They had really long sticks that were about this long. And they all walk into the crowd where they were, and they're just standing around. And all of a sudden, boom, boom. They start swinging the pole, and one of the guys grabs the pole from him and says, hey, man, stop hitting me. But, you know, oh, you grab the pole, suddenly now you're an aggressor. And so but I think they realized, oh, we're not going to get these people to attack us. They're just defending themselves. So it's literally as quickly as they walked in, they just turn around and walk out. And you could just see that's what they're trying to do. They were trying to get the crowd into a frenzy, and they got what they wanted. That's exactly what happened. At one point, you know, the people, there was that scrum in the doorway, and then people went into the Capitol, and most of which were peaceful. I would say 99% were peaceful.
Well, I mean, the government refuted, you know, so many of their claims in the middle of the trial, you know, so they had the architect of the Capitol come in. It's this guy who is in charge of like all the restoration, anything if it breaks, and he's the one that, you know, says how much it is and finds the contractors to come in to fix it. He says that once something is initially broke, it is broken. That's it. So they blame Dominic Pozzola, my co-defendant, the guy you see right there with the gray beard and black glasses. He hits the window with a shill. What they don't show you is the Indian guy in the red MAGA hat that happened to be at all these pivotal points throughout the day, never got arrested. This guy is the first person to break the window with a 2x4. So by their own definition from the Capitol itself, the architect, once that window was broken by that gentleman, he is the person who broke it and therefore should be charged with. But instead, they go and pick Dominic Pozzola out.
Then because
they
find he was out a
Proud Boy.
Yeah.
They find out he's a Proud Boy, a new one. So they used him to get seditious conspiracy on me, Enrique, Zach, and Ethan. But then they don't even charge him with that, you know. So they used him to get in. And then they go, well, because he's not a leader, we can't charge him with seditious conspiracy. But then why'd you put him in the leader group for the trial? Because you needed that, you know. Yeah, when you see a stacking right there and holding, that was us leaving. The first time when all that stuff kicked off, I told the guys, get behind me so we don't lose each other. Let's get out of here. We get out there in the field, and then I start hearing flashbangs going off and people screaming. And I go, man, I feel bad. Because I have medical training from the military. I was like, I want to go see if anybody's hurt, if I can help. And I start helping people, and I'm moving parts of the fence. And the government says that I was breaking the fence down to throw at cops to hurt them. You know, they lied about everything. It was just people need to hear about this and a longer setting where I can actually talk about it, you know?
Well, I have a feeling you're going to make a documentary or something about this and really get the truth out, because that's what needs to happen. We're about to go to break. We'll be right back. You stay with me for the rest of the show. I'm really proud of you, dude. You really maintained yourself, and now you're getting what's coming to you. You're getting what you deserve.
Ladies and gentlemen, you know the power of turmeric, but have you felt it? Have you tried the ultimate turmeric gummies, the delicious way to harness the ancient power of golden turmeric, supercharged with ginger root and black pepper for maximum impact? Each gummy delivers 125 milligrams of premium turmeric extract packed with curcumin, the clinically studied compound shown to support healthy inflammation response, ease everyday aches, and promote joint comfort so you can move through life with ease. We added real ginger root, trusted for centuries to calm digestion and soothe the stomach, plus a precise dose of black pepper extract with pepperine, proven to boost curcumin absorption by up to 2,000%. That means more of the good stuff actually gets where your body needs it. No capsules, no bitter aftertaste, just one tasty tropical-flavored gummy a day, or two if you're feeling extra, to help you feel lighter, looser, and more energized. Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, ancient wisdom meets modern science in the best-tasting form possible. Grab yours today and start feeling the ultimate difference in health. With Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, inflammation doesn't stand a chance.